Der Fußball ist zurück in der zweiten Liga.
Bravo, macht Tempo, wartet auf Harte. Zwanke kommt und jetzt ist es Klos. Also Arminia Bielefeld.
Penny, 2-0. 2-0 für den FC St. Pauli.
Diese
Flanke, Tor, nächster Treffer.
Ist heuer Fernandes mit vorne. Ja klar ist er mit vorne. Kittel mit der Ecke, Feuerball und da!
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Zweite Bundesliga podcast. We've been away for a week and a bit, but we are back to discuss all the action from match day 31. It is crazy to think that we have three match days to go. I wish I could say the same about Kiel, who will be embarking on, I think it's four games in 9 days, starting on the Friday. So massive, you know, events coming up. Of course, the teams are in their intense protocol, which means that the players can own and coaches and staff can only go from their homes to the stadium and vice versa. It is going to be very interesting to see how this season ends. There's still plenty to play for with promotion and relegation. Very much an opportunity or a threat, depending on which side of the fence you sit. As always, to help me, assist me, and make better judgments than myself on the Zweite Bundesliga and what happened on match day 31, it's Eva Lotte Baller. Eva, good morning. How are you today?
I'm well, thank you. I have to say, if I wouldn't have it up here on the sheet that it's match day 31, I couldn't really believe it, because I do wonder a bit where this season went. I think it was one of the, if you compare it to the last season, which like kind of went on forever, this went over quite quickly because we didn't really had any sort of winter break. Not saying that I want this season to go on any longer, because I don't, but it is a bit weird. I have to say I do not know anymore which of the games I've seen this couple of weeks is actually from the match day, which one is one of the postponed games. So when I watch a game, it's just like, okay, those are just two teams. I don't know when this game should have happened, but let's just watch it. So yeah, it was a bit difficult actually finding out which of the games from match day 31 was actually played on that match day.
Yeah, kind of summed it up, because of course they've had the week break in between for the DFB Pokal, which was unusually taken place during the week or the previous weekend, which normally would be during the week. Unfortunately, Kiel were knocked out of the cup 5-0 to Borussia Dortmund, but the fact that they got to where they were really shows the quality that they have, and I think we're all disappointed that they couldn't some reason get over the line. Alas, we get to see Leipzig and Dortmund in the cup final. Yay. Let's actually talk about the football that does matter, and that is the Zweite Bundesliga. That is why you're here. And we're going to start with the league leaders, VfL Bochum, who could have gone a step closer to capturing promotion. Unfortunately, they were beaten 3-1 at Darmstadt, and it certainly looked like that they could have stolen victory. Robert Tescher scoring in his third consecutive game. He put VfL a goal up, but then three goals in the space of 7 minutes from Darmstadt, Christian Clemens, and then a brace from Serdar Dursun, who now has 21 goals this season. Enough to see De Leon get all 3 points and continue their recent run of good form. Eva, Darmstadt opting to play on the counter. They were very patient in the way they played, and they weren't deterred when they got a goal down, but when they equaled the ledger, they went full throttle.
Yeah, I thought that the win was definitely deserved. I mean, you already talked about it, that they let Bochum have the majority of possession throughout the game, but Bochum couldn't really do anything with that possession. They didn't really get through. I mean, just to point out one statistic to, yeah, kind of underline that. I mean, in total, they attempted 25 crosses. Only three of them were accurate. And for example, one of their key players with the duel, he had 8 attempted crosses were non-accurate. Accurate one was within those 8. I mean, you could see that they couldn't really find players or one of their teammates to really convert anything what they started to. Darmstadt was very good in defense except that one goal where Tesche can just from the left side of the box can just put the ball in the back of the net. But after that, I mean, before already Darmstadt was the better team. They kind of needed that wake up call with a goal. You had the feeling, but afterwards they just showed what they can do if you let them. Quite interesting as well. We've seen that with another team, not that match day actually, but 2 days ago with Fortuna against Karlsruhe. Kind of the substitutions really made a difference in this game as well. I think Clemens was subbed in, for example. I think Honzak as well later on. They were both giving assists when Clemens scored himself. So yeah, good eye there. And but by Anfang, and for Bochum, it's a bit of a downer, but especially with Fürth not winning, this would have been really, really major for them to win that game. But it seemed a bit like only two teams wanted to win on that weekend, and that were kind of from those top teams. That was of course Düsseldorf, and no, they didn't win that weekend. See, this is what happens to me with all the games. The only team that won that weekend was Kiel from those top teams.
Yes.
See, this is why this season should end.
We're so close. We're only 3 weekends away, and then we get the playoffs, and then a few months of just relaxation, and the only drama will come in the transfer window. But Darmstadt very, very good in the application of the game plan, and their end of the season has been very, very positive. They've won 3 of their last 4 games. They now sit 10th. They won't go down. They mathematically impossible for them to get relegated. The question for them is whether they're able to keep Serdar Dursun. That's going to be the big question. There will be certain teams in the league hovering. Hamburg, Hanover, I've seen. Have thrown their hat in the ring. You would have said Schalke, but we'll touch on the reasons why that probably won't happen later on. Let's move on and discuss St. Pauli and Greuther Fürth. St. Pauli 2-1 winners in the end. Lukas Zander, Guido Burgstaller getting the goals. Burgstaller has 10 for the season. Paul Seguin getting a goal in stoppage time, but it's counted for naught. It means that St. Pauli are now, I would say, is it 6 points away from third? I did not update my stats because of Kiel's win last night. From the time of recording, this is a Wednesday. Either we know St. Pauli have had a very, very good 2021, but I think we have to look at Fürth. Missed the opportunity. Obviously, they won, I think it was on a couple of nights ago against Sandhausen. They could have gone top had they got the points here and then continued the win at Sandhausen, but not the worst result in the world. We know St. Pauli have been in red hot form.
Yeah, although I have to say that if you look at the game, you spoke about that, the game against Sandhausen, where with Fürth did struggle to win and wasn't that easy of a win as it should have been, you could say. And in this game, I think it was a bit frustrating as well because St. Pauli it wasn't St. Pauli's best game, in my opinion, but Fürth couldn't really convert their chances. I thought that Sojanovic was quite good in goal as well. But in the end, St. Pauli was a teeny tiny bit more effective and or efficient. And for Fürth, they still look a bit comfortable in that second place. They have at least to the fourth place with Hamburg, then I think 5 points away from Hamburg. But yeah, the next couple of games are, yeah, the 90% won't be enough. They really have to put that all in. I don't want to say I'm afraid, but with all the players that leave it at the end of the season, I don't really know what we will see from them, if no matter if they go up or if they stay in the league, because both can be, I mean, it's going to be a bit hard in the Bundesliga, of course, if you don't have the same players. I mean, especially people like Raum have had a huge impact on their play. If I'm not mistaken, you didn't really hear anything from signing for the new season, if I'm correct. So, yeah, they're officials in the bags. They really have to work something out. But just once again, just hats up to St. Pauli. They have been amazing in this past couple of weeks. Really want to point out people like Pakarada, for example. He really improved. And, of course, Lucas Sander kind of getting on the score sheet on a regular basis now. Although that whole situation before the goal was a bit ridiculous. Yeah. But, also Salazar. I mean, similar to what we said about Fürth, said that before, players like Mamouche and Salazar, you don't really know what is going to happen. So, yeah, but good result for St. Pauli. I think especially Bochum was very happy with that win.
Yeah, absolutely. And it gave them just that little bit of a buffer. I think now what it does for Fürth is it, with Kiel's amount of games in hand, which we'll probably refer to too many times throughout, it puts pressure on them because, you know, they do have the gap, but they have left the door ajar not only for Fürth to do the old-fashioned smash and grab, but then put themselves in a position where they may have to play a two-legged fixture against a Bundesliga side. We still don't know who that's going to be. Could be Mainz, could be Köln, Augsburg, Bremen, even Bielefeld. You know, that's open for discussion. So I think Fürth's next, you know, couple of games, they play Karlsruhe on the weekend. Massive game. If they can get a result there, then at least it may put a bit more pressure on Kiel in their upcoming fixtures. Our last Group 1 game does feature Hamburg. They were at Regensburg. This game ended a goal apiece. Not a lot of good you could say about this game, with Andreas Albers getting the opening goal of the season. He's Regensburg's top scorer. He has 10. I think if I'm right in saying this, he's the only Regensburg striker or recognized forward to have more than a single goal. It's been a long season for Regensburg, and they're not out of the wood yet. Sonny Kittel got the equalizer for Hamburg, and the game ended a goal apiece. But Eva, we'll talk about the game in a moment, but the events that happened after the fact that really is fascinating, because it has been an absolutely chaotic past 72 hours for Hamburg. It started with Simon Terodde packing his bags. He is leaving Hamburg to go to Schalke in the summer. That's a 1 year plus an additional year option. That would, I assume, if Schalke somehow go up. And then the following day, Daniel Thun was sacked with youth coach Horst Hrubesch, who hasn't coached for Hamburg in the first team anyway for 27 years. He's going to coach the final three games. Eva, I don't know about you, but I said this off air. The Hrubesch introduction is there's a Hube Stevens vibe to it, but it's very unusual that with three games to go, only a point behind Kiel, and some pretty interesting games coming up, that's a really bizarre thing to pull the pin on a coach and bring in someone who hasn't coached for a long, long time.
Yeah, and I mean, we don't really know what exactly happened with Daniel Thun. There are a lot of rumors that he went by himself due to several reasons. I mean, of course, if it's that way, we have to respect that. But I'm with you here. I don't think, I mean, he's free to prove me wrong, obviously, but I'm not really kind of, yeah, I wouldn't be happy as a Hasfoffin with Rubisch. my just like HSV timeline wasn't really in the clear with that as well. I mean, it was busy 24 hours with being clear that Toretto was going to leave at the end. I mean, some of the fans were like, yeah, obviously that was kind of clear. On the other hand, yeah, it's for in my personal opinion, I do think it shows a bit that Toretto basically doesn't care anymore where he plays. Nothing against Schalke here, but yeah, especially this coming up with such an important time, don't think this whole communication could have gone any worse. And then obviously with Tune out and Hunt being injured and out until the rest of the season, I think especially with the whole dynamic in the team is really struggling at the moment, doesn't help. And I don't know. I'm not really, when I saw that, I was like, yeah, well, that makes sense. But more like, why bother? I had a bit of Köln vibes when they fired Anfang. But then obviously they put in a completely different person than Rubic is, of course, from the team as well, from who works at the club before. But I don't know. I'm just not really, really happy with that all in all. We will see how this one goes and until the end clears that. I mean, Jonas Bold kind of said in a press conference, well, statistically or just from numbers, we can still reach the second place. And I think with that one sentence, he summed up what is wrong, because you should then say, okay, let's focus on the playoff spot. Of course, this isn't what Hamburg should do in the first place. But at this particular moment, it's all about really seeing what is possible. And for me, reaching the second place is not possible for me in the way they play at the moment. I mean, they had that game in Karlsruhe against Karlsruhe, quite a bit similar to what we've seen against Regensburg here. Just couldn't really find the back of the net, a lot of insecurities. So I don't know. For me, that basically sums up everything that is going wrong at the club at the moment, that their expectations are just so off on what is happening at the moment in the league. And that is a bit worrying. We have to say in this game, I do think I was a bit surprised that their Hamburg actually scored the first goal in this match and was ruled offside. I looked at it a couple of times. I'm not completely sure, because if you then compare it to the second goal, I thought it was quite the similar situation with Kittel standing there. But well, I'm not the VAR. I was just a bit surprised. In the end, no matter what, Hamburg should have won that game, and they didn't. And yeah, that's just really disappointing.
Oh yeah, 100%. And there are no excuses. It is really going to be fascinating. And we've said this, I think, for the last two seasons now, and we may end up having to say it again, but it is going to be another fascinating off-season. Every journo who enjoys some sort of free, low-hanging fruit type story is getting it. Because no matter the situations around, somehow, and I really feel sorry for some of the fans in Hamburg, no matter what happens, they just shoot themselves in the foot with just, like, why not stick with Tune for the final three games? If it's not working, what you show is that you've hit the reset button again. This is their fifth manager in three seasons. And it's the second in three seasons that they've hit the reset button in a hope that it'll cause a push. Oh, I don't know. I really don't. I think the Toronto one's an interesting thing. I think it was kind of well known that they would go. The Toronto would stay if they were to go up. I think that was a pretty clear. You know, he bought out of his Köln contract for a 1-year deal to see them try and get up, go up. I don't think he owes any loyalty to Hamburg at all. What Schalke are getting is a proven goal scorer. No, make no question about it. He's going to be, you know, the question is, can what is going to be a pretty rebuilt Schalke side give him the service, the silver service that he needs to score 25 plus goals in the league? Who knows? It's fascinating. I'll quickly touch on Regensburg before we go to our first break. Not out of the woods entirely when it comes to the relegation playoff. They are 5 points ahead of Braunschweig. Do have a game in hand against Kiel, which is going to be played next Wednesday at the very friendly time of, I think it's like 4:30 or something. So
3:30. Bundesliga Saturday time, kind
yeah.
of.
Yeah, on a Wednesday, which is glorious if you're not working.
Isn't it the Thursday? Am I wrong? No, I don't know. I can't.
At this stage, who knows?
what are weekdays? no, it's a Thursday. It's a Thursday at 4:30. Yeah, 3:30. Oh my god.
There's too much going on. But I think that is the perfect segue for our first break, because it clearly shows that the Timos has not done us any good whatsoever. Do join us when we talk Sandhausen and Hanover on the other side. Sandhausen's run to safety very much started here. Home game against Hanover, one that they needed to win. And they did so in very convincing fashion. 4-2 in the end. Sandhausen now currently sit in the very illustrious position of, if I can get my stats to work, 15th. They are currently safe if the season was to end today. However, their form has been a bit dicey recently. Two consecutive defeats since this game, as they had the games in hand, puts them very much on the bubble. However, we are talking about this game. What it means is for Hanover, 9 points ahead of Braunschweig, their rivals who are in 16th. A point will be enough to see them survive another season. What has been a very, very poor season at that. It's been really hard to describe, but they are getting ready for a max clean out. It's what it feels like. Either we should talk Sandhausen. Very, very good second half. After they went down 2-1, they really went to the ascendancy. In particular, Kevin Behrens and Daniel Cates-Rorel, who, you know, they've contributed to 20 of the goals scored this season out of the 37. It's been fair to say when they've worked, when they've been on, they've really made Sandhausen a force up front.
Yeah, we'll completely agree. And I mean, this game was a bit weird because the kind of three out of this six goals were, well, kind of favored by goalkeeper mistakes. I mean, some Hanover fans had the feeling that Michael Essa was channeling his inner Ron Robert Zieler at some stage in this game. I mean, Essa didn't look good when Biara scored their first goal. Then Capino didn't really look good when Muslia had that, converted their free kick. But in general, Hanover wasn't good. They were really lucky. There were 11 players in the pitch at the end because this is similar to a Christmas miracle that Simon Fallet was still on the pitch at the end of the game. I mean, yeah, that just amazes me in some ways because he basically puts out a kung fu kick against that 1,000 player, and I think he doesn't even get a yellow card, if I'm correct. I'm not sure anymore. But afterwards, obviously, the penalty. But yeah. I mean, Sandhausen will be a bit sad because following this game, they played against, Fürth on Wednesday night. And then, obviously, yesterday, they lost to Kiel, where they, if you compare it to the Fürth as well as to the Hanover game, they didn't look good throughout the game. And I mean, with Kiel and Sandhausen, you have really the teams that are under most pressure with having all the games to play. That was not a good performance by them last night. They really have to hope for the other teams as well, a bit in this position, but also they really need a win against Regensburg on the weekend. I think if they lose that, it's going to be very, very tough again for the last two games. in general, I do think they have one of the best positions down there if you compare it to Braunschweig and Osnabrück, obviously. Yeah, they offer the most for me. They have the best quality in the team, in my opinion.
I think at the very least, Sandhausen will be in the playoff. That's probably the worst case scenario. I can't see Osnabrück magically transpiring some sort of form in the next three to survive. So it's them and Braunschweig, and who really knows with Regensburg? They are in a bit of a tricky spot, but they could also somehow get in the mix. Hanover, you would think not, but they're obviously going to be a scope for change. Kenan Kokach will be gone at the end of the season. They really want Stefan Baumgart, but I could imagine, and I think I'm not the only one with this opinion, the only thing that would stop Stefan Baumgart from being Hanover manager will be Martin Kind. Let's be real. The dude is not good news for the football club. And they are going to have it, much like Hamburg, if Hamburg don't go up. Hanover are going to have it, I would suggest, a max exodus. There's been talk Genki Haraguchi won't re-sign, if it's possible, out of contract at the end of the season. There's been talk that Schalke, who are going to be probably going for every Zweite Bundesliga player with a bit of quality, will go after the likes of Timo Hubers, Linton Meiner, hopefully not Marvin Ducksch, but, you know, ultimately, they've had, not only has it been a lost season for Hanover, but they have so severely been underwhelming comparative to their expectations. Whoever is the next manager has a Herculean task to just get them to some sort of semblance of, you know, top six status. Because we know how tough this league is. It can eat you up, chew, spit you out, and Hanover have been put through the ringer. Tough after this result for Sandhausen. Tough, obviously, even mentioned losing to Fürth. They also lost to Kiel. We'll see. But I guess we do feel sorry for Sandhausen because of the COVID and, you know, how it affected them and having to play all these games at the same time. And as with Kiel, who will so swiftly move on to, Kiel did beat Sandhausen on the week last night, and that Yanni Serra goal was delightful. But they also beat Osnabrück on match day 31. It has been a busy, busy week, past few week for them. Also played in the Pokal, which mentioned at the start, they lost that 5-0, beat Sandhausen, beat Osnabrück. Yanni Serra, he's now got 9 goals, if you include the goal he scored last night. It was an Adini-owned goal, Finn Bartels, who also scored last night. He has 6 goals now. Sebastian Kirk, the only goal scorer for Osnabrück. And Eva, we might as well talk about Kiel as a whole. It's been a massive week. They've got another huge week coming up. They've got another, I think it's 4 fixtures, starting with St. Pauli. At some stage, they're gonna break down. Like, they've got a good squad. We know the individual quality, but it is not sustainable to play that high level of football that they've been able to produce for so long this season. But that fixture backlog is just brutal.
Yeah, I mean, although you have to say you kind of had the feeling they had the breakdown in the Pokal, which was then completely fine. I mean, of course, it would have been nice for them to win against Dortmund, but obviously this wouldn't have been the game you would have expected them to win, or in any kind were expectations from Kiel officials to win that. But I mean, if we speak about that Osnabrück game, afterwards they played Nuremberg, drew against them. You had a feeling that was the first time you saw that it could be a bit tough with all those fixtures. But then yesterday you thought it was a dominant display set up before. And yeah, against Osnabrück, I mean, they only needed to play 45 good minutes. You could see that Osnabrück in the second half tried a bit, but yeah, they couldn't do more than one goal because they just lack quality at the moment. And so yeah, that game was decided after the first half, which was good for them. But of course, the next couple of games going to be a bit harder with St. Pauli on Friday night. I mean, this is going to be huge game for them, just because St. Pauli is the best team in this second leg. But I think it's actually going to be a very interesting game to watch. I'm looking forward to it actually, with a bit of the Northern Derby flair. Oh, it's not a typical derby, you could say, but kinda. So yeah, in this game, you have to say, because after this game, obviously, I said it before, they played three other games, so you can't really say anymore which happened in what game. But I think Ole Werner found a good way of mixing the team. I mean, I was really amazed, if we speak about the game last night, of how Koval, but as well, I think Hauptmann, if I'm correct, had a good performance as well. Was very trying to go forward in that game. So yeah, it's really about how they're going to go through. I won't say they will break down, because it really depends on how the opponents will be, build up against them in this game, in this particular Osnabrück game. For sure, this was kind of, Osnabrück will go down. Really sad that they're going to leave, but I can't see anything happening at all.
Yeah, I think we're reminded by Nürnberg journo Flo Zingler, who did a heat map on strikers. Really, really high quality stuff. And I think he mentioned to our good mate Lewis Ostrovsky that anyone, any team that is relying on Sebastian Kirk to be your savior, that is a dangerous game to tread. And they are really suffering that they don't have another goal scoring option. I mean, Christian Santos has not really had the opportunities, but when he's had them, he had them in the game against Kiel. He didn't take them. It is just so hard to not feel convinced that, or it's hard to convince yourself that they are going to stay up. One win in the Rückrunde suggests otherwise. Kiel, though, yeah, they not only put themselves in the conversation, they leapfrog Hamburg. They've got those games in hand. They could still snatch promotion. Full-blooded promotion away from someone like Fürth. If the likes of Yanni Serra, Finn Bartels, and that can keep scoring. I mean, I feel like every time Yanni Serra scores a goal, Bielefeld fans around the world are like, this is going to be one of our guys next season. We are really, really excited. And you should be. He's a very good player. Our last group two
To
game.
that account,
Yeah.
sorry, just the Armenia fans, at Armenia fans, Armenia in English, to that scenario: Armenia versus Kiel in relegation, and Yanni Serra shoots his future club back down to League Two. This is peak Armenia fan behavior, and I love it.
Gotta love that half glass empty North Ostwestfalian attitude. Let's move on to Erzgebirge's hours away game at Braunschweig. We know Braunschweig really needed to get 3 points here to leapfrog back into 15th. They did not do that. 2-0 defeat to Erzgebirge Aue. Dimitri Nazarov, Philip Zulekna, the goal scorers. Not the usual suspects. We expect Testrot and Kruger to really put the to really be the ascendancy. But I think a good thing for Auer, not only to win away, which they don't do often, but to really get themselves with two strikers who don't usually find the back of the net, positive result for them.
Sorry. And I mean, it was the whole game was, can be described as meh. I mean, besides the goals, nothing really happened, especially not from Braunschweig. I mean, we've said so many times in this podcast over the last years, the moment where you can beat our the best is if they play away from home. And it wasn't even their best game by hour, but because Braunschweig offered so little, it was a kind of easy win for them. It was, as mentioned before, not a good game to watch. I mean, somehow Braunschweig had three shots on target. I'm not quite sure when, but Menno didn't really have problems with that. I mean, their best chance came from Diakite, I thought, in the second half, which says a lot because it's this central defender. So I don't know what else to say about that game. Braunschweig is really disappointing me at this stage in the league, and just solid points for our.
Yeah, not really the best time to go one win in your last five and three of those being defeats. Does leave the door ajar to Osnabrück, but we're not really confident that they can pick up the pieces. What it does do, it does put a lot of pressure on them to try and get out of that 16th place, in that being the relegation playoff. At the moment, if the season was to end today, they'd be playing 1860 Munich, and the best attacking team in the Dritte Liga, you would almost be willing to put, and the best defensive team in the league, along with Dresden, 29 goals conceded, you'd be willing to bet that 1860 might actually get the wood. Unlike with the Bundesliga, Zweite Bundesliga playoff, Dritte Liga, Zweite Bundesliga playoff, far more open, up in the air, and there's not really... I don't think there's the huge quality difference as we see in the other one. So Braunschweig really need to start picking up points. Otherwise, they are very much under threat of relegation, if not just the playoff. Let's take our final break. We're finally getting there. And we're going to look at the final three games of Match Day 31. And we're going to start with Nürnberg and Heidenheim. Nürnberg could inch ever so close to safety if they were to get the 3 points against the Heidenheim side that had been in really good form of recent. And they did so. A 3-1 win against Frank Schmidt's side, and Nürnberg, with results pending, they look like they will be safe for another season in the Zweite Bundesliga. Their form of recent has been very, very good. And there is maybe optimism that next season can be a lot better than the current campaign. Goals from Johannes Geis, who had no right scoring from where he did, Fabian Nürnberger and Thomas Kraus. Tim Kleindienst scoring from the spot for Heidenheim. He now has 10 goals this season. Eva, it's a real interesting one. If you look at the statistics, you can look at XG. Probably hard to mount a case for how Nürnberg won this game, but it's fair to say that when they had the opportunities to present themselves, they took them.
Yeah, I have to say it wasn't such a bad game by Nürnberg. I mean, I do think that they were the team that offered a bit more, although their XG might suggest differently. But I mean, they had 16 shots on goal. I mean, 6 on target. But I mean, XGs don't always tell the story, obviously. I was kind of a bit disappointed by Heidenheim in that game. I mean, they concede that first goal very early and very unlucky. I thought Müller didn't look good in goal after that corner. No, it was a free kick corner. I don't remember. It's just so many happens and so many things happen since then. But no, I thought, especially in both halves, as soon as Heidenheim started to put a bit of pressure on Nürnberg, Nürnberg kind of... Yeah, they showed a lot of self-confidence in that game that I was a bit surprised by. I mean, it kind of now with the, if you take the key game into account as well, they have 7 games undefeated. And I mean, if you compare it to the end of last season, completely different team. They showed some good football in that game. And actually... Yeah, I thought they went off that pitch as the deserved winner. Also because Heidenheim, I mean, yeah, as mentioned, in my opinion, they offered too little, too less.
Yeah, it was a bit disappointing. But what it does do, I think if we just keep with the Nürnberg narrative a little bit, is it does prove, although not always pretty, that maybe when it looked very difficult, Robert Klaus... has shown a bit in his, some managerial fire. And I think that is something that you want to see, is that he's still got the players on his side. You see where teams, when, you know, it's not going that way, you can kind of tell by the on-field performance. But yeah, they in a lot of games, they've really got stuck in. And there should be some good optimism that, you know, if they can bolster the squad, don't lose core players, you know, maybe next season they could have a better run than what they've had. But they've certainly they're ending the season in a very positive light and something that they will be absolutely thrilled with. Let's move on to Paderborn. We know Paderborn have had a busy week. It's been a busy month and counting for them. as we wait to see who will be their new coach. They played Dusseldorf. Game ended 2-1. They came from a goal behind. Ruven Hennings opened the scoring for Fortuna. And then Kai Pruger, Dennis Sabeni. Sabeni has 14 goals this season. It was one of a couple of good news for them. Sven Mikkel extending his contract until 2023. Eva will stick on a Paderborn and then we'll move to Dusseldorf in a moment. Good result for them. It does keep them in that top nine. They sit ninth now. 43 points, that guarantees, of course, Zweite Bundesliga football for another season. It has been chaotic, probably more off the field for Paderborn than it has on the pitch in recent years. We're so used to seeing them either go down three divisions or up three divisions in pretty much straight fashion. Ninth almost seems right for them at the moment. They've had some pretty dicey games, but this one they showed good resilience after going a goal down.
Yeah, and I mean, I think especially if you talk about off the pitch, a lot of Paderborn fans were very happy that Sven Michael extended his contract until 2023. I think that's huge, actually. He has been and is a key player for Paderborn, and that also shows to that besides Paderborn not having a new manager or of what we know about. Michi really wants to stay at the club, and I think that's huge. The funny thing is that actually this game was not that bad to watch, but I still don't, like, because of everything that happened, I didn't really have it in my mind, and that's why it's probably that late on our sheet as well. Because for me, that kind of meant, okay, Düsseldorf is for sure out of those promotion battles, and then they won against Karlsruhe on Monday night, and then they're equal on points with HSV, so it can go very quickly in this league. But yeah, that game, good performance by Paderborn, as you've mentioned before. I think they are very happy that they can plan quite safely with the Zweite Liga next year, and I think it really helps with extending contracts and stuff. So I'm actually quite eager to see who they're going to appoint as a new manager. We have a couple of options. Will be interesting, but that's like that whole coaching carousel at the moment. You have a lot of options for a lot of clubs. I don't know what else to say about the game. Just good win.
I mean, I think one of the coaches we've heard, although I'm not entirely sure how credible the source would be, was Daniel Tuyn, and that would be rather interesting fit. Only speculation. We're not willing to put our mortgage or life on it, but it's one we've heard. Not really sure how that would fit. No, Osnabrück fans would be pretty furious. But yeah, I think good win for Paderborn. Will be interesting to see what their squad shapes up like. You know that I think teams coming down will look at some of their individual quality and see that they would be good pieces on their team. We know, look at Christopher Atwi Adje. Looks like he's probably going to leave, out of contract at the end of the season. Could be a good get for a team. It almost seems he might follow wherever Stefan Baumgart goes. We talk Dusseldorf. Had they won this game and they win the game on Monday against Karlsruhe, they would be sitting unbelievably pretty right now. They would be 3 points clearer, and they'd be ahead of Kiel. But yeah, they got a little bit lucky. Old fashioned smash and grab against Karlsruhe. I think the picture will be clearer. This is going to be copyrighted. The picture will be clearer after match day 33. That's pretty clear. But they've done an unbelievable job since Uwe Rosler said that they were still in the promotion hunt, and we kind of scoffed at it. It seemed very unlikely. They are in the promotion hunt, even if it's the playoff. They are mathematically in it, and that is something not to be scoffed at. And finally, our last game of match day 31. It has been a grind because there's been so much football to talk about. Karlsruhe Würzburger Kickers 2-0 the final score. Karlsruhe led twice in this game. Kyungrook Choi, Dominic Korte, the goals. But and then Marvin Peringer and Lars Dietz. But the ever reliable Marius Gersbeck, we've sung his praises a lot on this podcast this season. It's fair to say he had an absolute mare, and he gifted both goals for Würzburg.
Yeah, although I'm not quite sure that the first one wasn't a foul. For me, still not that clear as a mistake as the second one. That was definitely a mistake. But from both parties, actually, I don't know what the... I don't remember which defender it was, but that wasn't a good pass in the beginning. I do think that Karlsruhe was better in that in this game as well. Würzburg offered not a lot, but they probably offered too little too late, especially. I mean, that goal last minute didn't really help them a lot. I don't know. It's going to be interesting where this Würzburg team will go in the coming season in the Dritte Liga. If they will go a similar way like in Wiesbaden, kind of in those top 10 around, always eye up to the Zweite Liga again. They definitely need some new structuring and a bit more less coaches. I think they have a lot and had enough of those changes in one season. For Karlsruhe, I do feel a bit sad because especially how they lost the game against Düsseldorf. That was just brutal. I still think that they can maybe do what Bochum did a bit more or less this season. Well, I mean, it did last season, kind of be one of the dark horses for promotion in the next season. Do really would like that. They have a good squad. You don't know if Philip Hoffmann will stay, but besides that, they have a good squad. If one or two players more that maybe leave in that realm, and they definitely can be one of those dark horses next season.
Yeah, it's kind of a shame that they've dropped away in the manner that they have, considering their first portion of the season was quite positive. They have a good squad. They've got some good players with very strong individual quality. But yeah, you could tell, especially if you look at the Düsseldorf game, how crestfallen Christian Eichner was. I guess the consolation for him is that compared to last season when he came in, the growth has been there. They've developed. I think if they can stay in that in the top half, they've had it's a good season compared to where they were 12 months ago. So that's the positive. You look at Würzburg, they can be confirmed as relegated as of this weekend if results don't go their way. If they don't win, it's over. So it's been a hell of a ride. The best part of the journey is the friends that we've made. And yeah, it's very much like Wiesbaden, a one-hit wonder. We see them and they're gone again, it would seem. But it shows how hard this league is once you get promoted from the Dritte Liga. That's it. We've made it to the end of this episode of the Zweite Bundesliga podcast. If you stayed all this way, thank you so much. You're amazing. We will be back for the final three match days of the Zweite Bundesliga season. Who's going up? Who will go down? Will we see any more surprises? You can guarantee that this league has a few up its sleeve. Thank you, Eva, as always, for being a part, being and keeping me in line. And until next time, have a great weekend, and we'll see you then.